There are plenty of reasons why the establishment would like to ban you. I suspect that probably the biggest one is your criticism of what's going on in Israel. Am I right that you are a Jewish of Jewish descent?
Yeah, no, I'm Jewish. Grew up Jewish. I as I think everyone with any kind of soul or heart should be, I am very, very, we'll say, critical of Israel and their ongoing genocide which got against Gaza, which has not ended, by the way. They're still starving them to death as of this day. So let's not pretend this genocide is over. By the way, even the deputy secretary. Secretary of State, I think, under Biden, she just said in a video clip just the other day, she called it a genocide. So this is even top level Biden officials now calling it genocide.
Hey, so did Marjorie Taylor Greene.
I'm always hesitant of people who go, well, this fascist said one thing I like, so let's get on her team. But anyway, yes, and so. That recently, that is one of the things that I have definitely been censored and suppressed for. Prior to that, I think it just had to do with strong criticism of the U.S. empire. I was a big proponent of Bernie Sanders' first run, and I think I made a big difference. That was before we were suppressed and we were getting big numbers, and I think that made a big difference. But yeah, it's plenty of things, plenty of reasons. I certainly go after capitalism a lot more than most, even in your a lot of left-wing spaces. So there's a lot of reasons that I think my stuff is considered somehow more dangerous than people's spouting hate speech on on YouTube.
Yeah, well, I mean, one of your more provocative posts about the what Israel's doing in Gaza and Lebanon and the West Bank was your position on October 7th regarding the use of what's called the Hannibal Doctrine or
Yeah,
Hannibal Directive,
directive.
which again basically is asserting that Israel, it wasn't Hamas who killed all 1,200 Israelis. I mean, yeah, Hamas was involved, but Israel itself actually went in and killed a bunch of the
Yeah,
hostages, which is crazy, crazy to think about.
I've written about this extensively, and people need to understand this is not my idea. This is not my analysis. This is. Top Israeli officials have admitted to this. You can go read about it. You can read about it in Israeli media. Haaretz has written about it. And one of the top level people to admit to this is Yoav Gallant, the former defense minister at the time of October 7th. This is the guy running the Israeli military at the time of October 7th, has said publicly they used the Hannibal Directive. The Hannibal Directive is Israel deciding that instead of allowing hostages to be taken, we will kill everyone. We will kill the hostage takers. We will kill the hostages. We will kill anyone nearby. We will kill all of the human beings in that area. And there is evidence upon evidence upon evidence, mountains of evidence, literal mountains of evidence showing that Israel did exactly that. They murdered hundreds, and we will never know the exact number. But that 1,200 number that our media still loves to say to this day is loads of people being killed by Israel. And like I've said, this has been admitted in Israeli media. And oddly, is this crazy, what a crackpot thing that can never be said in U.S. mainstream media. It really is just
Why
unbelievable.
does the US mainstream media ignore when so much evidence is from the Israeli government itself?
Well, the U.S. mainstream media, I think there's tons of direct censorship where they won't let critical of Israel reports come out. I mean, prior to October 7th, there was zero. Now there's occasionally some. But there's a lot of self-censorship where journalists within the mainstream media, and you can hear this from mainstream media journalists who are no longer there. You can hear it from Chris Hedges and so many others. There's a lot of self-censorship where they know that they'll basically lose their job if they criticize Israel. Especially prior to October 7th, they'll lose their job if they just spout off about the Hannibal Directive on a live broadcast. And so rather than even get near that line, they just avoid ever mentioning it.
Has the Hannibal directive been used in the past or in other
Yeah, I don't remember all the details. They did use it against Lebanon many years ago, and then supposedly they, turned it off. They said we're not going to do that anymore. And then on October 7th, they very much used it again. But there's a lot more about October 7th that people need to realize, and I highly recommend they go read my column, well-researched links, everything column at realecamp.substack.com. But the other things that people need to realize is Israel knew October 7th was coming for a long time, a year ahead of time at least. The New York freaking Times has put out an article, you can still go read it, saying Israel knew that October 7th was happening a year in advance. And they didn't just know something was going to happen. They didn't just have this vague Hamas might do something. They had a 70-page document with every detail called Jericho Wall, the every detail. And guess what? Hamas stuck to the plan to the word. Every bit in that plan was exactly true. There's also loads of evidence that Israel pulled the soldiers away from the wall. The video cameras of the wall at the time have the video camera footage has essentially most of it disappeared. You have the they have a job in the IDF called spotters, which specifically it's all women, and their specific job is to watch these videos of the wall and see if anything's going on. And testimony after testimony after testimony from the spotters who survived and from their family say these spotters were telling the Israeli military for upwards of 2 years, but definitely for a year, for months, saying Hamas is planning something. We're watching them train. They're getting ready. We know what they're going to do. This is going to be large. They kept putting in these reports after reports after reports, and nothing was done. Now, why was nothing done? Because this was the casus belli that Israel, that Netanyahu needed to commit this genocide. And you just, the evidence is all there. It's not some just theory. It's like, go read the New York Times article. Go read my Substack. It's
Well,
just
we
unbelievable.
see what they're doing. They're working very quickly to, I mean, in comparatively quickly to establish a greater Zion, greater Israel.
Yeah, Greater Israel, which Huckabee said in his interview a few weeks ago. He said, well, the Bible says they can take it all. So you have the U.S. ambassador to Israel saying essentially the U.S. stance is Israel's allowed to take all of these other countries. If you go Google a map of Greater Israel, it includes all of Palestine, it includes large swaths of Jordan, Syria, Lebanon, Egypt, even Saudi Arabia. And this is what they're working towards. This is where Israel is trying to head.
And this October 7th gave them the catalyst to do that, the reason to do that.
Yeah, it gave them the reason, the propaganda campaign, and to commit this genocide, which has now allowed them to steal over half of Gaza. If you look where the current map is of survivors, where they're allowed to go in Gaza, they've lost over 50% of it. And as I mentioned, this is still a genocide. Like you have people in a tiny concentration camp, you're allowing very little food in, people are starving to death, babies are dying. And of course, occasionally Israel still bombs, but the real death and destruction is disease and hunger.
So you're an American Jew, and yet because of this opinion, I'm guessing you've been called anti-Semitic.
Oh, sure, you get that insanity. One of the things that Israel has worked very hard to do is to get everybody to conflate Israel with Judaism. So you criticize Israel, oh, you're criticizing all Jews. No, I'm criticizing Israel. I'm criticizing a nation state. I'm criticizing a government. And they've worked very hard to do that. And so in that way, they actually create anti-Semitism. They create real anti-Semitism, not the fake stuff they claim. They create real anti-Semitism because they have succeeded in getting a bunch of idiots around this world to think that Israel speaks for all Jews or that all Jews are Israel. And that's what creates anti-Semitism. Then you also have the fact that a lot of people don't understand Zionist does not mean Jewish. Zionist means a supporter of the Israeli state. And there are more Christian Zionists in the United States than there are Jews in the world. There are anti-Zionist Jews like myself. And so people, again, and Israel's worked hard to do this as well, conflate these words, confuse them, and then think that being anti-Zionist is anti-Semitic. Not at all. And there are millions of Zionist Christians, pro-Israel Christians. A lot of evangelical Christians believe that the Bible says all the Jews need to be in Israel for the end times to come about, so the Jews can burn in hell. So they very much support Israel so that they can bring about the end times and make sure all the Jews burn. It really is just
And
insane.
they themselves will get caught up in the rapture.
Yeah, and then they'll get to go to wherever.
Float away.
Yeah,
Float
float
away.
away. So but the confusion is intentional. The confusion is Israel views it as a propaganda win to get people to confuse all this stuff.
And I get why by I guess by religious crazies, in my opinion, like Huckabee or Pete Hegseth, I believe that all this has to come to pass because they've got this destructive mentality about the end of the world, that somehow they'll get saved and the rest of us will get, burned up when Israel gets established this way. But that's not that doesn't explain most. I mean, that explains some in the Republican Party, and perhaps even a controlling influence within the Republican Party. But it doesn't explain the Democratic Party or the Democratic perspective. Yet you have Democratic administrations that have been just as enabling of the building of this Israeli state that as Republicans have been.
Yeah, and a lot of that has to do with where their funding's coming from. It's not just AIPAC, which is the largest one, but there's other they're called the Israel Lobby as a group. There's other ones like NORPAC and stuff that are massive pro-Israel money PACs that dump money into candidacies. But also, if you come out against Israel, they may not just fund your opponent. They'll also sorry, they may not just stop funding you. They'll also fund an opponent to bring you down in the primaries, et cetera. We've seen them do that a lot. So yeah, they're afraid of the kind of money game. But I don't think actually the motivation of a lot of these officials has to do with religion. Maybe Hegseth is some sort of messianic lunatic, but Trump's not actually religious. He will feign a thing here or there to get religious people to support him, but. The real heart of it is, U.S. empire, the petrodollar, oil. They view Israel as the unsinkable U.S. battleship in the Middle East. They view it as helping them control the Middle East, the only nuclear power in the Middle East. So there's a lot of very useful reasons that the U.S. empire wants Israel to be strong and to destroy others. I'd say that's probably the biggest reason, but then the funding certainly keeps Congress in line because I'd say a lot of congressional members may not be as fully brought into the inner circle about how to defend the petrodollar. And so I think that their reason for a lot of them for supporting Israel, quote unquote, is just they know it's the end of their political career if they come out against it.
And I mean, AIPAC does, and other interests do pump a lot of money into campaigns. When I ran for Congress, I never took a penny from any PAC. And the most aggressive PAC that was trying to get me to meet with them was AIPAC. And they called my office repeatedly. My scheduler, who happens to be a very strong Palestinian activist, was insisted, no, he's not going to meet with you. He's not going to meet with you. And finally, they called and said, hey, we're in town. We are in Des Moines. We need to meet with the candidate. And she said, nope, sorry. But they were by far the most aggressive PAC. And
Yeah,
it,
and that shows that it's not just you're running for state Congress, right?
no, that was for U.S.
Oh,
Congress.
that was for U.S. Congress. Yeah, but it shows that they're definitely going after everyone, and they want to make it clear that if you sign with them, you get a big hunk of money, and if you don't sign with them, well, they're giving that big hunk of money to the other guy.
So I want to ask you how we turn this around, and maybe I'll throw this out there as a starting point. At some point, evil overplays its hand, and it seems like that's happened, and more people are turning against the Israeli state. And perhaps we will begin to see a turnaround in terms of, U.S. support for the Israel war machine. But maybe I'm being overly optimistic. What are your thoughts on how we turn this around?
I don't think you're going to see the because Israel's so useful to the United States, the US might keep them in check a little bit in certain areas if we could keep moving the needle on popular understanding and anger about the genocide. And now Israel is aiming towards the genocide in Lebanon, which look at some of the best known international anti-genocide organizations like the Lipkin Institute. They're all flashing red alerts about a genocide in southern Lebanon. But anyway, I think the biggest change has to come with the waning and the slow dissipation of the U.S. empire. This is not saying that the United States as a country couldn't exist anymore, but the idea that we're going to own the world and have full hegemony and crush anybody who gets in the way of that is just such a catastrophic, horrific way to go about our foreign policy. It's been going on for decades. This is not just Donald Trump. You take the UN report on the harm caused by US sanctions, which is economic war, combined with the report on the number of killed in the global war on terror, and you get 44 million people that have been murdered by the US war machine or US economic war since 1970. 44 million. And that's a low count because that's actually not counting a lot of other things. But really is just horrific. And all of that is done to keep the US empire strong, to keep control. What Trump's doing right now in Iran is intended at keeping the US hegemony. And they view Iran as a linchpin for Chinese energy and for against the petrodollar. And of course, it's all backfiring. If anything sped up the end of the petrodollar, it's attacking Iran like he
Yeah,
did.
right.
But I don't think you see us truly backing off support of Israel. I think what we need to see and what's more likely is just a waning of U.S. empire. Writ large.
That'd be nice. It'd be nice to see if empire across the board would become a kind of a historical relic. I don't know if
Yeah.
yeah, you laugh, right? I know. I
And
know it'd be.
after that, nation states, we'll go back to just loving one another because it's another human being rather than where are you from? What skin color are you?
Well, Lee, these are tough conversations, and again, us being critical of our own country does not make us anti-American
No,
any more than our criticism of Israel makes you anti-Semitic or me.
to want a country to be better by loving and creating a sustainable world, that's not anti anything. That's not anti-American. It's
You may
maybe anti-war.
you me and the Pope.
Yeah.
Hey, Leah, thanks so much for joining us. So, folks, we've been talking with Lee Camp. Leah, folks want to continue to hear from you, continue to follow your work. What's the best way for them to do that?
Real Lee Camp. That's my name's just seven letters, LEECAMP. Real Lee Camp at Substack.com. And I highly recommend, whether you agree with it or not, I highly recommend you go there and scroll down and read the article on October 7th and learn the truth with all the links and hyperlinks and sourcing and everything else. And that'll take you kind of everything. But I do have a website, leecamp.com, as well.
All right. Thanks so much, Lee.
Thanks, Adam.